Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so filled with joy as we look upon this season where, Lord, your word is freely shared. Lord, the world kind of acquiesces and kind of holds its breath as we as believers in you are able to celebrate, able to proclaim your birth, death, resurrection, all in one. As we live out these things day to day, we thank you, Lord. And we pray for that boldness, the boldness of the Spirit, to say the words that, Lord, you want us to say. That we would step back and allow you to work through us to those that are around us. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you have done in our lives and that you continue to do in our lives. But Lord, we need to humbly ask you for the grace, the power to become the sons of God. We cannot do it on our own, and we can't live on yesterday's laurels, whether they be success or failures. So, Father, I pray that we would start each day anew, asking for your grace, asking for your Spirit to fill us, to lead us, and to guide us. And it's by your word, Lord, that we are instructed. So I pray as we look into your word today that you would instruct us, that you would show us, Lord, those things that you would have for us to do. And Lord, as we worship you, truly worship you, we would become like you and be lights in this world. So Lord, have your way with us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So the Christmas season is upon us, and let me be not the first, but let me just say Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. And may the Spirit of the Lord be upon you and lead you and guide you. And that concludes our service for the day. No. I got it. Yep. New phone. Some technical geek. Get over there and help her, would you? All right. So. This is the time when we come together as family. We come together today as family. And as we get together with members of our family that don't know Jesus, you know, let's have that in our hearts, to be lifting them up. You know, I mean, we think about the people in our family, and we think, oh, gosh, Cousin Joe's going to be over here, and you know how obnoxious he is, and he's just going to ruin everything for us. But this is the person that we need to really pray for, because they need Jesus too. And we need Jesus to show forth Jesus. You can't give something that you don't already have. So I pray that we would drink from the living well, the living water of Jesus Christ that would permeate our lives. Now, as we were looking at 1 John chapter 5, going into that, and it is so amazing to me how no matter what the season is, the Word of God fits in every situation. Doesn't matter what season or what time of life, it fits. Like we're looking at here, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, beloveth him also that is begotten of him. And so we think about the birth of Christ. Now I find it interesting that the Bible doesn't tell us the date of when he was born. And the caveat to that, to me, is that we celebrate the birth of Christ every single day. Every single day we roll out of bed and we thank the Lord for the provision that he has given us. He's given us the provision of his son, so that means his son must have had to be born. And to be born, that means that he had to die. And then he had to be risen again. So we celebrate all three. We celebrate Christmas, we celebrate Easter, and we celebrate every feast that the Lord has laid down for us to remember all at the same time. Every single day. It isn't just one day out of the year, so if you're uncomfortable with celebrating on the 25th of December, just think, you can celebrate on the 23rd, and the 22nd, and the 21st, and January, and February, and March, and every single day we can celebrate the birth of Christ. Because without the birth, we won't have the resurrection. We have to have the resurrection to celebrate newness of life. And as we are celebrating him, the Scriptures and the Spirit just come alive in us. and we become joyful. We have the peace of God that passes all understanding, and we have the joy. It's the first fruit of the Spirit mentioned. The fruit of the Spirit is joy. And what a joyful time this is, where God has given us the gift of His Son. We give gifts, as Jose was saying, to one another to commemorate that, to commemorate the gift. But there is no greater gift than Jesus Christ. The taking away of our sins, not just cleansing us, but taking away those sins so that they're no longer associated with us. Just think, all of the things you did yesterday and last week has been done away because you confessed them as sin. And the Lord, I don't remember them. You keep talking about your failures. I don't remember those failures. Oh, was that yesterday? Sorry, I don't remember that. Because you've confessed them, and I've taken them out of the way. They should not be a stumbling block. The enemy wants to remind us. The enemy wants to remind us of our failures yesterday, and the day before, and the day before. And he also wants to burden you with future failures that you haven't even committed yet. He's distracting you. He's taking away that joy, the joy of being forgiven of sin. But as we state over and over and over again, all of the sins that we have committed, past, present, and future, was done away at the cross. We need not fear that which was behind or that which is going to happen. We don't need to fear that. It's all been taken away because we are in Christ. The Spirit of Christ dwells within us. So therefore, we're free. We're set free from those things. Now, I really like the way that John describes this verse. He says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ." Now, we're also fond and we're familiar with Jesus Christ, you know, because we almost think that it's, we see it so often, we almost think that it's his name, Jesus Christ. But it's not. Jesus the Christ would be a proper interpretation of this. Christ means anointed one. The one who has been anointed, appointed for a purpose. Jesus means Jehovah is salvation. In the Hebrew, it's Yahshua. Yahweh is salvation. But nevertheless, it's the same thing. The gift of Jesus Christ is salvation because he was appointed and anointed to do so. That was his gig. That's what he came down here to do. Time and time again, we read in the scriptures about the people, they saw all these marvelous works. They saw the feeding of the 5,000. They said, let's go and make him a king. And he hid himself. Why? Because his time was not yet. Remember when he had all of the battles with the Pharisees and things like that? He hid himself because it wasn't time for him to suffer and die yet. Because his time had not yet come. There was a specific time, there was an appointed place, appointed time for him to be crucified, to go through the sufferings, and he fulfilled every single one of those as he would. Now, the thing is, during this time of Christmas, it's neat because I love to get these Christmas cards that have the scriptures on them. And I'm going to read for you some of the scriptures that we see on Christmas cards, and you're going to get them. Hopefully you're sending them out. Hopefully you're not sending out some platitude. Sometimes, you know, we have an opportunity to give out scripture. Let's take every opportunity. You know, if you've got a workplace where you can hang things up on your bulletin board, take those scriptures and put them up there. Let the people see. Isaiah 7:14 is a popular one. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Now, we know what Emmanuel means, right? God with us. He wasn't a good teacher. Oh, he was a good teacher, but he wasn't just a good teacher. He wasn't just a prophet, but he was God in the flesh. John makes no bones about that in his gospel. The Word, which was God, became flesh and dwelt among us. God himself was to be given for the sacrifice. Abraham told Isaac that on the way up. And Isaac asks, well, we see the wood and the fire, but where's the lamb for the sacrifice? And God will provide himself a sacrifice. Genesis 22 tells us. God will provide Himself. Nothing less than Himself would do. It had to be Him. He had to come down. He says, I have made man in my image because I am going to redeem him. You ever wonder about that? Why He made him in His image and His likeness? Because He was going to become a man. Not only for 33 years, but forever. Forever will He be our kinsman. He will be one of us. God Himself took on flesh. The formless God took on flesh and dwelt among us. That blows my mind. That He will be not only in a body, but He's going to bear the marks of His crucifixion as well as the sign of His glory. So that we would be reminded every time we looked at Him what it cost for us to be in heaven with Him. What a marvelous God we serve. That's a neat scripture. Isaiah 7:14. Just put that on your bulletin board at work or someplace around your desk. A Christmas card just set up there. If you didn't get one, go buy one. They're still available, I'm sure. And then also, Isaiah 9:6-7 says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Amazing. Amazing stuff. And it slips right by everybody. Every Christmas, they're going to get one. Oh, what a marvelous opportunity for us to witness. You know, and if you didn't get one from somebody, go buy one and hang it on your place where you hang all your Christmas cards. And then when people come over, oh, look at all the Christmas cards. Did you see this one? And then it just launches right into it. You know, I mean, you can take these opportunities to share the love of Christ with people. Don't let it slip by, because Jesus is coming soon. Sooner for some of us than others. But we should be living in the expectancy that He could come at any moment. As Bruce had mentioned, Israel is the timetable. And as we see all of the nations of Dedan and Meshach and Tubal, you know, which is Russia, now they're in Syria. They're right at the door. Folks, it's just exciting if you're a Christian today to see these things happening. You see that these guys, you know, they're not going to win. You know, they may come down and, you know, like a flood, but guess what? The Lord is going to fight for Israel. I don't get concerned at all when I see the wranglings and the janglings of the UN or the US or any other body, governmental body, because I know who's got Israel. You know, it's like, it's mine. You ain't touching them. No, you don't think he uses bad English. You will not touch him. Okay? Sorry for all of you teachers out there. So. You see, the pastor says that I can say it too. No, that's it. But the Lord has His hand on Israel. Whoever touches Israel touches the apple of God's eye. That's how much He cares for it, for them. Oh, man, it's exciting. And you see what He's doing, though. You know, we can, in any microcosm, we can look and we can see our unsaved brothers and sisters. You see, they've come together as a nation. Why, they know not. But they wanted to have a homeland. Why did they want to have a homeland? Because the Lord put that desire in their hearts. Same with us. Why did we come to know the Lord? Why is it that we accepted the Lord? Because we could reason in ourselves that, hey, this is a great deal. No, it's because the Lord put the desire in our hearts to come before Him. And no other reason. He called us from the foundation of the world at a particular moment, and He gave us spiritual life so that we could acquiesce that the gospel of Jesus Christ was true. That's the only reason. He did all the work. Our input was zero. We had zero work to do in this. All we are, we're along for the ride. And this is what we can give thanks for. This is what we can be joyful about. That the Lord chose me. Now, if you've ever You know, I mean, if you were ever in school and they were choosing up sides for the team, I was the last one to be picked. Okay? And so I know what it's like to be chosen. To be chosen first. To be wanted in that respect. And you just go, wow. You know, when I finally picked, I was still filled with joy because I made the team. You know? Of course, the guy with crutches and the wheelchair got in before me, but that was okay. At least I got there, you know. Sports wasn't my thing, so, and everybody knew it, and, you know. So, but he chose us from the foundation of the world to share in his kingdom, to be a part of it. And we can be willing participants. Jesus said of his disciples, he says, whosoever desireth to be my disciple, let him deny himself, pick up his cross daily, and follow after me. Now that is phenomenal as I read that. Whosoever desire, do you have the desire to follow after Christ? First of all, if you have the desire, he put that desire in your heart. You can rejoice about that. I have a desire to follow Christ. He put that desire in my heart. It wasn't because I thought it was a great idea. It was because he did it. And so I've got to deny myself. Deny that there is anything good within myself to say, you know, yeah, the Lord chose me because, man, I'm such a good speaker, as you can all attest, right? That was a joke. Okay. Okay, he's getting be a little quicker. Is it too warm? Okay. Deny that we had any participation in this. And then pick up our cross daily. That means dying to ourselves every single day. Every single day, picking up our cross. It's a daily thing. I always thought it was a once and for all kind of a thing. You know, I mean, that's what, you know, you read that. If you read it too casually, that's what you're going to deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow after me. And I'm guilty of just throwing that out there without really examining what that is. That desire has to be there first. And we deny ourselves because of the desire. Because this is what the Lord says. Okay, just like, hey, if you want to be able to drive, first of all, you have to get a license legally. Right? There are steps that we follow. We have the desire to follow after Christ so that we deny that we can add anything to it. This is what the Pharisees were doing. They were adding all of these traditions. They were adding all of these things that we had to, that they put on people to do that they weren't doing themselves. This is what Jesus was upset with them about. He says, you snakes, you viper's brood. You see how politically correct he was? No, he called it as he saw it. He says, look, you're leading my people astray. All of those that wanted to follow after me, you have put stumbling blocks in front of them. And you have, you know, you've quenched the spirit that's been driving them to the Lord. And you've been turning them away with your traditions, with your rules and your regulations. And if you read chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew, you see how the Lord prescribed these things to be interpreted. It wasn't a matter of physical that we could do. Otherwise, he wouldn't say deny yourself. Deny anything to add to this. But he says, let the Spirit of God do this. If you hate your brother without a cause, if you're angry with him without a cause, it's the same as murder. It was a spiritual thing. We have to take the law spiritually. Now, the Lord gave us the law, to be sure. And if we look at verse 2 of 1 John chapter 5, it says, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. You see, I don't know how it got started, traditions of men probably. But one of the things that really irked me about church is that people would say, the Old Testament was a different God. We have the angry God in the Old Testament, the thunderings and the lightnings. But we, in the New Testament, hey, we have the God of love and peace and joy. And that's the God that I want to follow. And so they stay out of the Old Testament. But as you can see, the scriptures that I read on our Christmas cards come from the Old Testament. In fact, all of the scriptures that Paul talked about came from the Old Testament. So where did this happen? I can tell you where it happened. There's sulfur involved in this too. It's to keep you out of the Word of God, because the Word of God is profitable. 62%, and I've still had yet anybody to challenge me on this. 62% of the New Testament is Old Testament quotes. And so people would say, well, you know, I don't live by the Ten Commandments anymore. I live by the Sermon on the Mount. And these are usually people that have never read the Sermon on the Mount. Because you read the Sermon on the Mount, it's a whole lot more stringent than any of the Ten Commandments could ever be. They're impossible. Jesus says it is impossible. That's why you have to deny your input. Deny. Humbly accept the grace given by God. God gives us grace. He gives us the power to be able to accomplish the things that He wants to do in our lives. We have to step aside. We cannot do them in the flesh. The best that we can do is create traditions. And so, you know, people talk about, well, Christmas is a tradition. Jesus wasn't born on the 25th of December. No, He wasn't. But the Bible doesn't say when He was. Huh? So we can celebrate Him all the time. And so I've come back to that very thing. We can celebrate Jesus anytime, because we pick up our cross every time the sun comes up. Every time we roll out of the rack to start our day, we take on the cross of Christ. And we say, Lord, I'm going to follow You because You called me. You've given me the desire to do so. Lord, continue with Your Spirit to pour out upon me so that I would be able to follow after You, so that I can break those chains. I don't want to be burdened down with the sin that I may commit or that I have committed. I want to be free from that. And He gives us the peace that passes all understanding, because He says, hey, I have taken your sins and I have cast them as far as the east is from the west. Now, follow after Me. And we can follow in newness of life. You see, you can't have newness of life until you've picked up the cross. There has to be a death before there can be a resurrection. It's a foregone conclusion. This is what Jesus taught. We were born again of the Spirit. We pick up our cross, and we are then in the resurrection of Christ. All in one fell swoop. Isn't that cool? But the enemy gets in there. He starts planting things in our minds. We start looking at the world. We start listening to things that we ought not to listen to. The Word of God is pure. We read about that today in our scripture reading. Not very well, but we read it. Okay? We have to work on that. Okay? Congregational reading is so very important, because it is the spoken word that comes out. Okay? And if it doesn't come out perfect, that's great. That's fine. I have no problem with it. But we have to participate. We all have to participate. Because it tells everyone, this is the pure Word of God, and it is good for doctrine, it's good for reproof, and to be rebuked by. And I pray that we allow the Word of God to do its work, to lead us in the paths of righteousness, to rebuke us when it's needed. And boys, we need it. Girls, we need it. We need to be rebuked from time to time, because we get it in our head that, hey man, you know, I'm doing okay, I'm good. As we studied last week in the Proverbs, every man's way is right in his own eyes. But the end of that is destruction. If we are in the Word of God, we are not going to be following our own ways. We're going to be following His ways. And we see His ways and we say, you know what? The Word of God's, thou shalt not. And I should not. I should not be doing what God says thou shalt not do. That's what keeping the law is. Keeping it before our face to govern what it is that we're doing. The law is not grievous. And this is the test, folks. If the law is grievous to you, oh man, this is such a bro. Think about what is driving you to do this. Are you on that cross? If you're on the cross, then the commandments won't be grievous. That's what John is trying to tell you here. I know we've been going over and over and over, but this is fundamental. This, if we don't get this, there's nothing else that we're going to be able to get in the Scripture. John takes three chapters to go through this. And he keeps repeating the same things over and over. And he keeps instructing us in the things that we're supposed to do here. And he gives it, and he's breaking it down to the spiritual level. Okay? We see the outward signs. We say, hi, how are you? You know, hey, I'm doing great, man. Everything's fine and dandy. And your whole life is falling apart. You're not being pure. You're not being true and open. You're being a false witness. by doing that. You don't need to spare anybody's feelings. If you are having a hard time saying, man, I'm having a hard time, man, I'm just struggling with this, that, or the other thing, you don't have to go into detail, but just say, man, I'm struggling. I've got this thing that I just can't shake, and I need your prayers. This is how the body grows stronger. Because then we think, man, if he's having some problems, and I thought this guy was a pill, he's having problems, then I can talk about my problems. And the thing is that we really don't know anybody because we put up these false facades. We don't allow people to see what's really going on. That's why we gather together. And that's why I'm glad we have such a small fellowship so that we can all talk with one another and really just share with one another. Now, a lot of us have been coming for a couple, 3 years, you know, or better. But, you know, and it's like, man, I've watched you for years. And yeah, I've seen you struggle and I've seen you triumphant, and it's been just great. And, you know, I think I know you. Why? Because I've been going to bat for you. I've been going into prayer for you. You've been coming on my heart because I've asked the Lord, put this person on my heart so that I pray for them every single day. Every time that, you know, every time I have a spare moment, put them on my heart. That's what Paul did. You see, Paul was that insistent in prayer. You see, he would say that, I pray for you always. Always I'm praying for you. Because the Lord put it on his heart to pray for the Corinthians, for the Galatians, for the Philippians, for Timothy, for Philemon. For all of the folks that the Lord would put on his heart, he would instantly go into prayer for. That marks that, hey, I'm being led by the Spirit. If you're being led into prayer, that means that the Lord has a hold of your heart. If you're going into the ways of the world, guess who has a hold of your heart? You do. You haven't denied yourself. You haven't died to yourself. You're not affixed to the cross. You're affixed to the world. Because you're going to do that which the desire of your heart is. Do you desire to follow after Jesus? That's what he says. Any who desire to come after me. Any who desire. Do you desire it? It's not a forced kind of a thing. If you desire to follow after Christ, this is what we do. Deny ourselves, pick up our cross, and follow. Follow after what he did. What did he do? He walked every single day by the Spirit. He spent every available moment praying to the Father, getting directions, having that fellowship. And the only way that Jesus could boast, I do always those things that please the Father, is because he was in constant contact with the Father and in constant obedience to the Father. Do you think that Jesus broke any of the commandments? Obviously. The answer is no. Is this on? Are you guys hearing me? No. He, without sin, lived in his body. He did all things through the Spirit. All things, all miracles, all everything that came out of his mouth was from the Spirit of God. He denied himself. Nothing was of him. And he would tell us, he says that, I am going away. And if I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter to you, the Paracletus, the one that comes alongside to help. And he will lead you into all truth in the Scripture. He will lead you into all truth. And when you start speaking the Scripture, guess what? That means that the Holy Spirit is guiding your heart, is guiding your mouth, is guiding your life. Because the Scripture became the forefront. Now, I know it does sound kind of like a funny thing, but I'm being really serious here. Jesus spoke everything that we see in the Bible by the Spirit. Okay? It's the Word of God. And I don't mean to be circular in the reasoning, but if you look at it, everything in the Bible that Jesus spoke of is in there. And he would testify that if it was not of God, I didn't tell you it. You see? So everything that Jesus spoke is in here. Everything that's profitable, it's in here. So when it starts to come out of our mouth, guess what? Jesus is in there. We're on the cross. He's in control. If I can put it in the vernacular that we know, we're in the back seat. He's driving. Okay? He's not our co-pilot. He's the driver. We're in the back seat. And if we have a station wagon, we're in the way back seat. Okay? And we get into trouble because sometimes we get in the back seat and we start to, oh, turn left here. Any backseat drivers here? We know. So you, we know. You know. I mean, it's just no, turn here. Oh.
With the Lord too. Backseat drivers with the Lord.
That's right. And he'll stop the car. Okay, you want to drive? Well, sure, I could do a better job. If his commands are grievous, and that means if you don't agree with any of his commands, what is it that we're supposed to do? What's going on in our hearts that we would disagree with the Lord? That we would disagree with what he's laid down that is best for us? Now, I don't know about you guys, but I was not a very... I can't say that I was a very rebellious child, but I did some things that my parents, my mom, well, my dad, if he wanted to punish us, he would send us out in the backyard to pull weeds, because we had abundance of weeds. And so if we were bad, we'd go out in the backyard and pull weeds. So, being the diligent child that I was and the rebellious child that I was, I'd go out in the back with one of those paper grocery bags and I'd start picking off the top of the bed and throw them in the bag, just really half-heartedly kind of thing until he came out and says, "You're not doing it right. Okay. I told you to pull those weeds, get them up by the roots." And he'd give us a nice swift kick in the slats and we were set on our way again. And this is what the Lord tells us. He gives us a command and we just kind of like pick at it. Oh, gosh. I don't know about this Sabbath thing. Yeah, taking a day off. I got so much work to do and I'm getting behind on my bills. I could take on another job on that day, I go to work for something, and then I get ahead of my bills and we always justify it with, and just think, I could tithe that much more. God is not interested in your money. He's not. He's interested in your heart. He wants that obedient heart. He wants a heart that loves him. Now, you have a friend. If they came at you with a half-hearted... let me speak to the married couples here. And those that are maybe dating or whatever. If your significant other or something kind of... Hey, you want to go out and get a nice dinner tonight? And they go, maybe, I guess. What's going to go on with that relationship? If you're not excited about the same things... I mean, who doesn't want to eat? Yeah. Does everybody not like to eat? I mean, am I the only one here? Man, let's go out and get us a nice steak, man. A nice ribeye, 12-ounce, man, with some potatoes. And who wouldn't like that? All right, if you're a vegetarian, I apologize. Sorry. But, I'm a carnivore, This is what I like to eat. But, if I'm getting I don't know. I had breakfast this morning, and I'm not really that hungry. So, the relationship isn't going to be good unless you guys are of the same mind. If you're going a different direction, then, maybe it's time to part company and find somebody that's going in the same direction. Don't be unequally yoked. And I'm throwing that in there because I'm talking about our relationship with the Lord. If we're not fully on board with Jesus Christ, then we might as well go another way. Don't waste your life. You only have this one life. And if you're not desirous to follow after Jesus Christ, then fall upon your face before the Lord and ask why. Lord, I've been hearing your word for X amount of years and I still don't have that desire to follow after you. Why? Why is that? Be sure. Make your calling and election sure. This is not something to play games about. Because you only have a brief amount of time, some briefer than others. Because he is coming back soon. And he's coming back for, a friend of mine. I can't say again, a friend, he passed away suddenly. I'm thankful that he was a believer. I'm thankful for that. But it was just like that. I don't know what, how he passed away or whatever, but I'm just thankful that he was a believer when he went. And we don't know. We're not promised the next minute. I could have an aneurysm. I could have a massive heart attack. Boom, gone. Any of us could. There's no age barrier or any limitation. Man, you could get an embolism or something like that. Boom, you're standing before the Lord. Are you going to be happy about that? Think about that. If you were to die at this very moment, would you be happy about that? Yeah. Glory. But while we're here, and we think that we have 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ahead of us, what is our attitude? Lord, why don't I have that desire to follow after you? If you desire to be my disciple, then deny yourself. Pick up your cross. Follow after him. Does this sound grievous to you? Is this something that's, I don't know. Then, folks, get on your face before the Lord and find out why. What is it? Are you born again? This is a question that we should be asking ourselves. If this is the desire, if this is not the supreme desire of our heart to follow after Christ, then we need to fall on our faces and find out why. Am I truly born again? And if you are, how do you know? Well, I'll tell you how you know. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. How many times does he have to tell you? Well, I'll tell you, he's going to tell us a heck of a lot more times as we go through this. But how many times has he already said this? Over and over and over again. You don't believe John? Then listen to Jesus. Jesus said the same thing. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And my commandments are not grievous. They're not grievous because you desire to be my disciple. And when you're a disciple, that means your teacher is giving you instructions on how to live. That's what a disciple is. I'm following after a master. My master is Jesus Christ. And by his Spirit, he instructs me in the ways that I should walk. These are not suggestions, folks. These are commands. If you love me, keep my commandments. Because if you love him, then he can call you friend because you're not doing anything that would violate that friendship. If you went over to a friend's house and you kept digging in his change drawer and stick it in your pocket every time you went over, you wouldn't be friends with that person anymore. When you go over there, you find the change drawer. Where'd the change bar go? I need some gas money here. What's going on? I thought you were my friend. No, you violated me. If we violate the commands of God, then we don't love God, folks. Now, the other caveat is, if you don't know what the commands of God are, then you don't care enough. Then you don't really love the Lord because you don't really research. What does God love? What does he hate? We can find that out in Proverbs, haven't we? The Lord hates a proud look. It's an abomination to him. A proud look, a haughty spirit. The Lord's going to destroy this. Are you walking around with a haughty spirit? A proud? Are you proud? It's funny. I'm proud to be a Christian. What? Wait a minute. Wait, what? Isn't that a contradiction? And sometimes people, they miscue it. They think, well, I'm not ashamed, so I must be proud, right? It's not the opposite, okay? Not being ashamed is not the opposite of being proud. Being ashamed is not the opposite of being proud. Sometimes we're ashamed because we don't know what to say. We're ashamed because the words aren't coming out of our mouth. That's when we're ashamed. Because we haven't studied. We haven't put in the time to ingest the Word of God. Therefore, we don't know. And that's what makes us ashamed. But the opposite of ashamed is confident. Confident that the Lord Jesus Christ is dwelling within me. He's given me the words to speak. And the words that I speak, man, they're life. They're not death. I'm not speaking forth death to people. I'm speaking forth life to people. I'm speaking forth the Word of God, which is alive and powerful and quicker than, you know, it gives life. Sharper than any two-edged sword, able to cut between our soul and spirit, able to separate the flesh from the spirit. The desires of the heart are revealed through the Scriptures. And this is what we really need to ingest. We need to invest in the Word of God because this is our future. The Word of God stands forever. So it's best we get acquainted with it now. Got some time on your hands? Let's get into the Scriptures. Let's read the Word. Let's get built up in the most holy faith. Find out about these things. Now, the things that we're talking about today, these are basic things. This is something that each and every one of us should know. If you've been here for over a year, then this stuff should be second nature. You should know this stuff. Okay? That's why I call 1 John the Believer's Handbook. And it's always good to go through the handbook. When I was in the Cub Scouts, we had a handbook. All the badges and things like that that we could do. But we had to follow the directions. We had to do it the way that the book said to do it. Otherwise, it would be no good. We'd stand in the award ceremonies. Well, you didn't do it right. You didn't do it according to the book. You did it your own way. Well, you don't get an award for that. You know, you got this banner on there and you pin all of those things on there. You don't get that. What you have to do is to live by the commands that are written in the book. You do them the way that the Lord says to do them. Without your interference, deny yourself. Pick up your cross. That means you have no input. You have no say. Everything that comes out of your mouth is from the Lord. And follow after Him. Just bear the light. That's all you have to do. Bear the light that's within you. It's not asking you to witness something that you haven't seen. I read this in the Word the other day. And this is truth. And then you can speak it. That's the light. And the darkness flees from the light. There's a, you know, I made the comments before, you know, we talked about, you know, like we have lamps. You know, you go in your living room or whatever, you turn on the lamp and the light shines. But we don't have anything that creates darkness. Kind of, you know, maybe it's just a foolish thought on my part, but, you know, if darkness was something that could be generated, then, you know, we would have an apparatus that does it. Okay? You know, flick on. Why would you want it? All right, I get that. Why would you want it? Well, who would ever? Why would you want it? An electric toothbrush too. So, but the idea is that darkness is the absence of light. In the beginning, God said, "Let there be light," because all there was darkness. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The light is to drive away the darkness. The darkness is already there. If we shine a light into the darkness, we're shining it by the Word of God, speaking forth the Word of God, and then the light shines. Whether they accept it or not is irrelevant. Your idea is just to shine forth as a light. Look at the book of the Revelation. Here Jesus is in the first chapter. He's standing around seven lampstands, which is the church. A lampstand was something you put a lamp on to give light. That's what we are as the church. We give light. And the only way to give light is to speak forth the Word of God. The Word of God is the light of the world. And that's what we need to do. Be a witness of that light. Let's stand. Something that I've always been wanting to do. My wife's not here to lead the ladies, but Chuck used to do this when he closed his sermons. And this is a benediction kind of a thing from the book of Numbers. If you know it, sing along. If not, then you can just repeat after me. The Lord bless thee,
Lord bless
and keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make His face to shine upon thee,
the Lord make His face shine upon thee.
And give thee peace.
And give thee peace.
Amen.
Amen.